verifying.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, thanks for making us part of your day. Hey, buddy.
Oh, man, it's nice to be back, isn't it?
It sure is.
Be back in our digs, our tri-day trading digs, and have a couple of big wins under the belt of the state of Utah and a couple of championship trophies and now some bowl nominations, and we're off and running. Another great week of college football.
Yes, we are. Fired up, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, there's a lot of things going down, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of football to break down. And, hey, you know what? It's kind of a bittersweet time of the year for me, Hans, because it's like the end.
Yeah.
Like, I know we all have one more game left, but it's the end. But what an incredible season this has been.
Incredible end. Incredible and impressive, and I can't wait to talk to James Impey about, you know, what his thoughts are and what his team's thinking. And I'm sure there's some unrest, but I'm sure there's a lot of excitement coming on their end too.
Yeah. It's a fun year. And you down in Las Vegas with the Vegas Bowl. Those years are behind us, aren't they?
Yeah.
You down in Vegas at the Pac-12 championship game, and then Utah State putting it on San Diego State, which I thought Utah State had a good chance in that game. I did not see an old-fashioned earth kicking.
Yeah. I'm doing a film review, halfway through a film review on that Utah State-San Diego State game. So we'll be unleashing the film review. But we do have a full review. 105, I'm hoping to do a full Utah State, if we can get the Utah State fans active, engaged, but doing a full recap of that game at 105. Because there were a lot of good moments.
Yeah, there were a lot of good moments. A lot of good things to break down. And joining us now, James Empey, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. James, how are you?
Hey, James.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Man, it's good to chat with you again. Off to Louisiana. What were the thoughts on the team when the announcement of where you were going and who you're going to play?
I think everybody was excited, man. Just looking at the team, we're going to play UAB. I've seen a few of their games this year, and, you know, I think they're a good opponent. And defensively, you know, I think they got some really good players on their defense. And, you know, I think there'll be some challenges along the line, and that's all you can ask for and another chance to play. So, you know, I'm excited for the guys. I'm excited to get down to Louisiana and have some fun with everybody one last time.
You know, I was a little bit disappointed with the nomination. I wanted to see something better than Alabama Birmingham. I think a lot of BYU fans were hoping for it and expecting it, but it sounds like you guys are cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways things could have gone, and you know, we were in a point where, you know, we had a chance. You know, a lot of things had to happen for us to, you know, kind of get a better bid and all that kind of stuff and play on New Year's and all that. But in the end of the day, you know, we had our chances and we've had a heck of a season and we have one more chance to play together. And, you know, that's all we can ask for. So I think most guys, although, you know, there was wishes for more. There's always, you know, you always want a little bit more, but I think everybody's excited for this opportunity. And, you know, the fact that we even have one's awesome. So I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And like I was saying, I think UAB is a good opponent, and I don't think they deserve to be overlooked one bit. They're a good opponent, and they got a great defense, and it'll be a great challenge for us.
You know, one thing, you know, you guys have played a wide variety of opponents this year, from you know, upper echelon Pac-12 teams to you know, Baylor, who ended up winning the Big 12, to Idaho State. I mean, you've been all over the place in terms of that schedule. And one thing for the most part, I think you guys have done a good job of making sure that you've respected your opponent, that you play to your level, not necessarily their level, and more often than not, that it's worked out well for you guys. Is that the same kind of approach you have going into a game like this?
Yeah. You have to respect the game of football. And especially, I mean, this year especially, I think everybody can learn that, you know, nobody's safe any week. You got to bring your best game every week. There's been so many upsets this year, so many different things, and you really gotta bring it every week, and you gotta respect the game, and you gotta respect your opponent, and that's been our focus throughout the season, is just soft and respecting the process in terms of practice and preparation, and then, you know, being ready to go in the games. And it's been fun, man. We've been able to put two solid years together. You know, if we finish right, we can kind of have, you know, a great 2 year spread here. That's been a whole lot of fun. So we have a lot to play for still. And, you know, just, I mean, besides all the rest of the stuff, we just got one more game to play with each other. And that's all you can ask for, man. So we're excited.
James, any more big decisions on your future and some of your decisions, or are you still in that process of making those decisions?
Yeah, me and my wife are still in the process. We're working together. You know, it's kind of fun to go through it as a team, me and her. And we're still in the middle of everything and working through it.
And you don't have to go through names or anything like this, but I'm always curious, you know, in this day and age of college football, well, college athletics with the transfer portal and the one free transfer, do you hear guys talk a little bit in the locker room about maybe moving on or looking somewhere else? And are other guys like, hey, man, you need to stay here and let's keep this going and keep it rolling going into next season? Do those conversations, do you hear those in the locker room at all?
You know, most of the time those conversations are between kind of that player and that, you know, the player's family and the coaches and all that stuff. There's not usually a whole lot of talk about it, but in the end, and we kind of talked about this the other week, in the end, as a teammate and as a friend, all you can ask for is that dude to do what's best for himself. You know what I mean? You can't ask for anything more. And, you know, you wish everybody the best. If somebody's not happy or there's opportunities elsewhere, you got to let them go for it. And you know, that I think the one-time transfer thing is cool, and people want to come here, and people here, you know, might have better chances other places, better situations. And it's cool that they were able to give that rule. In terms of talking about it, it's, most of the time I think it's more of like a personal thing, but, you know, anybody that, you know, chooses to transfer, you know, I wish them all the best and hope they find the situation they're looking for.
You know, James, going back to your dad's day at BYU and not quite as far back to my day at BYU, we would get transfers in, but it wasn't so much transfers from Alabama or Oregon or, you know, guys that feel jilted or aren't getting enough play time and coming from the bigger programs. Most of it was JUCO transfers. A lot of it was Rick's College. They actually ended up canceling Rick's sporting events, I think like my sophomore or junior year while I was in college, so we didn't get many, but we had a few come in. And when they would come in, the transfers that would come in, we'd all put a target on them because it was our buddies. It was the guys that we'd been there with for the 2-3 years and guys that came in as freshmen that were fighting for those positions. And these big recruits had come in as transfers and we'd say, no, they're not going to take our job. No, they're not going to take your job. And, you know, we would fight our butts off to keep our jobs. Is it the same way with the transfers today? Is it when you get a high-level transfer that comes in that's a big name from maybe a big program where you're kind of looking around like, yeah, well, this guy's going to earn it because he's not taking my job. Is there still that mentality, that attitude?
Yeah, and I think that goes, you know, even with the people here, you know, there's always the attitude of, you know, wanting to earn that spot and take that spot. And when new people come in, it just adds to the competition. And, you know, I think that helps raise the level of play, to be honest. When there's competition and when there's people who are competing with each other for those spots and kind of fighting for those spots, I think it raises the level of play. And so you kind of need that on the team. When it gets bad is when you have guys that are, you know, kind of fighting for that spot and are competitive, but then are also kind of, you know, kind of selfish and have bad attitudes and stuff like that when things don't go their way or, you know, between, you know, it could be a variety of different things. So that's kind of when you get the bad kind of mojo and the bad chemistry. But for the most part on our team, we have guys that accept the challenge and kind of, you know, love the process, love the challenge and kind of attack that as a, hey man, like, you know, the best player is going to play and I'm going to work my butt off. So that's me. And if it's not, then I'm going to keep working and keep pushing until, you know, I get my chance. And I think that's what's cool. And that's kind of what you're striving for in terms of, you know, the culture is to still have everybody be teammates, even though you're and friends and buddies, even though you're all fighting for the same playing time and the same spots. And you know, I think the culture has done a good job of like, you know, the coaches have done a good job of building the culture and kind of building it up to where kind of we have that right now. And we don't have a lot of those. The negative things that come from that competition. We've got a lot of the positive things that come from that competition.
Hey, James, in your time playing through, you know, different ranks, maybe even going back to Little League, but through high school, through college, and what you've seen done, I don't want you to specify anything because I don't want you to hang anybody out to dry, but have you played in any programs or any systems where you have seen politics play a role and maybe the best guy didn't play, or have you always been around where the best guy did get the shot?
You know, I mean, thankfully, I've always been in a place where the best guy gets the shot. And, you know, just all growing up and everything, I've always been somewhere where the best player plays. And I've really appreciated that. And when everybody kind of buys into that system on a team, including parents and including friends, you know, that are watching their team, when everybody kind of buys into the fact that, you know, they got to trust each other. They got to trust the coach. They got to trust what's going on. They got to trust that whoever's in is the best player at that time. When you kind of have that, you can build some special teams and, you know, it's a lot of fun. So fortunately I haven't been in those places, but I have heard stories of some politics and stuff. And, you know, when you kind of hear some of those stories of the politics, you're kind of hearing it from the side that didn't benefit, you know what I mean? So you kind of got to take everything with a grain of salt, but luckily I've been in places where the coaches have been just so great and have built systems where the best player plays and they've, you know, played younger people. They've played, you know, older people. They've played everybody, just whoever was best played. And that's where you get the best teams. And that's, you know, kind of where you all build off each other.
You mentioned sometimes in a locker room where a player or two may have maybe not a great attitude or a negative attitude. The other day, I do the games for Utah State, but Blake Anderson, the coach up there, and I'm sure this has been around forever, and I don't know if it originated with him or if he just took the line from somebody else, but he said, coaches can lead a good team, but players lead a great team. And I've always kind of been curious about that. If there is maybe an attitude or something that may not be great from a player or some guy may not be aligned, does that need to be regulated inside the locker room more than necessarily from the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, the coach can only do so much, and that's kind of what that quote is saying. You know, a coach can only bring so much to the table. He can only do so much, but the players have to buy in, and there has to be, you know, leadership and examples and people doing the right things, and that's kind of what that's referring to. And so, yeah, I mean, when there's stuff like that, I don't know if it gets regulated. There's no code reds or anything
that. Yeah, maybe that's not the best word to use, I guess. Sorry.
But, yeah, there's no code reds, you know, stuff like that. But there's, you know, guys that have bad attitudes, they just don't last long in a culture built with mostly guys with good attitudes, you know what I mean? And the guys doing the right things. Those guys with bad attitudes doing the wrong things, they don't last long in a system like that. And whether they, you know, have to leave or whether they just buy in and get on board, you know what I mean? That negative attitude doesn't last long. And so if you got players that are bought in, like the coach can only do so much, and then you have players that are bought in, and, you know, the older players, the leaders, even the younger players that come in, if they buy in right away, that's where you get those great teams, because you got people doing the right thing all the time, and you always have an example you can see, you know, and work towards. And so that's definitely true in an organization. I love that quote.
James, in your years at BYU, have you had a guy come into the program that's just a bad apple and you guys have to go to him and say, hey, stop it?
Yeah. You know, there's been bad apples and they kind of just, they like I was saying earlier, they don't last long or they change their attitude. And most of the time, thankfully, that attitude gets changed and it turns around and they become, you know, a great teammate and a great member of the team. You know what I mean? More often than not, especially when you have a group of guys that are kind of leading the way like that.
So you not only a great player and you love all things BYU, but this is something that I try to tell people, and I don't know if it really hits home because the fan bases here in the state of Utah hate each other so much, and there's a lot of like anger and animosity for the most part. You know, some people get along, and that's great, and we love that. But you know, there can be a high level of disdain between the fan bases. But you love good football, and I gotta imagine over the weekend, you probably enjoyed seeing Utah win a Pac-12 championship. You probably enjoyed watching Utah State win a Mountain West Conference championship. You played against those guys. You know those guys. You probably have, you know, high school or, you know, teammates that you know playing on some of those teams. What were those emotions like for you?
Yeah, like you were saying, there's teammates and friends everywhere throughout the state, you know, and all those and buddies and all that stuff at these other teams. And you know, I was recruited by both schools. I committed to the U, decided to come to BYU. Right, there's a lot of things that I like about the programs in throughout the state. And you know, in my heart, there's not a whole lot of animosity there between teams. Yeah, there's rivalries and you want to beat each other, but I want to see everybody do well because it makes everybody look good. And you know, in the state of Utah, and seeing Utah State have a huge win over San Diego State. Man, they really put it to those guys, and you know, just seeing them go at it, that was, you know, that was a blast. And seeing Utah beat Oregon for a second time the way they did, geez, man, those guys are playing good ball right now, and they've been through so much. So, yeah, love seeing those guys do good, and you know, in return, it makes us look good. It makes the whole state look good, and it, you know, especially, you know, after the season that we've had, also. So, you know, love seeing those guys do well. Love seeing them just hammer people, and I'm excited to, you know, keep watching them.
So do you have your itinerary for Shreveport? What does the schedule look like?
We should have it later today, man. And you know how bowl games are handled. They're a whole lot of fun. So, you know, it's really a reward at the end of the season. You know, first of all, you get a chance to go compete one last time with your teammates. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. But you get to go, you know, you get to go somewhere else. There's fun activities. There's fun things going on. It's really just a fun reward for the players and coaches and their families and staff. And so, you know, hopefully we'll have the itinerary later today. I know they're working hard on it because it's one of the earlier bowl games. So those guys have to kind of get everything nailed down pretty quick. And like I said, all year, our support staff and everybody working so hard is second to none. They do such a great job. And you know, I'm excited for this last one. But it sounds like about mid next week we'll head down to Louisiana, and there'll probably be a few practices down there, and we'll have some fun.
I know you and your wife, you like to cook and you like to enjoy different kinds of foods, a little Southern food. Nothing wrong
with that.
That's
not going to suck.
You'll enjoy that.
Yeah, that'll be a whole lot of fun. My grandma, she's actually from Louisiana, and so it'll be fun to get down there and learn a little bit of what she grew up with.
Nice. You know, and the other thing too is you get into these games sometimes and you see some teams traditionally perform really well in bowl games. And Kalani Sitake seems like that's something that is important, because there's some teams that enjoy it and realize, okay, you know, the season's over and we're going to go through the motions and enjoy it. And if we win, great. If not, you know, so be it. But at BYU, under Kalani, it seems like it's been really, really important to perform well, and you guys treat it like a business trip. What's the message to a team when it's not a playoff, it's not a, you know, there's not a lot to be earned in terms of, you know, of championships and things like that. It can be some people treat it like a glorified exhibition game, but it still is a game, it still is pride, and it still is a lot on the line. So how do you guys treat that game?
Yeah, you treat it just like another game, and yes, it's a reward, kind of like what I just talked about, but in terms of game preparation, you got to approach it just like another game and be ready to play. I mean, we're playing for a lot. We're playing for, you know, an exclamation point on the end of the season that we've had. We're playing for, you know, an 11th win. That's huge. We're playing for each other, and so you kind of just got to approach the game like another game, and you know, you have a little bit more time to prepare, and you get to just kind of nail everything down and go to work in a really fun, you know, environment and a fun game. So you approach it the same, you prepare the same. You know, you wouldn't be respecting the game if you didn't give it your utmost attention, but you get to have a little fun, you know, along with it.
Yeah, because you were mentioning Alabama-Birmingham. You said that you've seen a few of their games. And, you know, as I said, it's not the opponent that I would have hoped for, but still it's an opponent that you're going to have to prepare for. You go out and mess around, they'll come out and get you a punch in the mouth, and you don't want that to happen. So what have you seen from Alabama-Birmingham? What type of game should we all expect, James?
Well, their defense does a really good job, especially against the run. I think they're one of the top-ranked run defenses in the country. They do a great job, you know, defending the run and playing a physical style of defense. I think they have a couple D-linemen that are really good that'll, you know, give excellent matchups for our guys and a good challenge. And just all together, I think they play hard and they play as a team, and they've had a great season themselves. So, you know, they do a lot of good things, and they're a physical group, and, you know, it'll be a fun challenge.
Well, hey, we appreciate it as always. Fun conversation. Appreciate you pulling back the curtain and letting us behind the scenes a little bit. This was a lot of fun, and good luck in Shreveport, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
James Empey right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All right, so I only say this because you brought it up, but there, you know, there's sometimes players have a hard time getting the motivation to play some of these games.
Yeah, and this is not the opponent that anybody wanted. It's just not. I mean, there's no reason to be dishonest about it. I can't paint this into a great matchup and a great game. If BYU prepares like they should, BYU should come out and stomp University of Alabama Birmingham. If they don't, if they mess around, and if they get overconfident, a little complacent, if they're having a little bit too much fun at the bowl game, then they'll come out. Alabama-Birmingham will make it a game, and everybody's going to stand back and be like, wait a second, so was that not as good a BYU team as we thought it was? I actually think it's really important that BYU come out and just stomp the breath right out of them.
Yeah.
And throw a signal to the college football committees that make these bowl decisions of, hey, y'all screwed up. You all made a decision to put us against a team that had no business being on a field with us. If Alabama-Birmingham comes out and stays close, if they win or stay close, then we all got to shut our mouth and got to take a step back and say, well, maybe they got it right. But that's why it's so important that BYU just come out and beat them up. You know, the committee's made the decisions to let quite a few teams jump BYU in the rankings.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not against it. I think Utah has done enough in these recent games and going and winning a Pac-12 championship and beating Oregon the way they beat them. Remember, we gave the final tally. It was like 76-16 or 76-13 in a total of two games. They beat them the way they needed to beat them. It's just we're looking at a bowl selection that it's hard to agree with.
Yeah.
I would have even liked to see BYU against a middling SEC team. I'd like to see BYU against a Power 5 team. I would have liked to have seen them really take on anybody. And there were a couple of rumors out there. LSU was swirling because it's close to Shreveport. And, you know, you'd take a really nice BYU brand against a really big LSU brand, a 6-6 LSU team. But still, a nice brand that it would have been a bigger feather in the cap to beat them. So hopefully those guys can stay committed. Hopefully they can stay focused. Hopefully they aren't looking at this opponent and just being like, oh, well, just sleep through this one and get a win. Because Alabama-Birmingham's still going to come out, prepare well, play hard, and they'll need to focus. But the reality is BYU should beat the brakes off of them and send a huge message to everybody.
Well, let's be honest. If they do that, that's what's expected of them. Like, this is kind of a no-win situation for BYU. Because if they beat them the way they should, which is what needs to happen, then like, okay, well, that's BYU should beat that team. They're, you know, 12th, 13th ranked team in the country. If they keep it close, then it's like, oh, well, see, that's why we leapfrogged everybody out. That's why Michigan State jumped them. That's why Pitt jumped them. That's why Utah jumped them. So Yeah, Lemma, it's not not an ideal situation there for your guys.
Well,
where'd your vote come in?
This was an interesting the way that things played out, which was great for everybody. I love that James kind of gave that perspective that, you know, you love when the other teams do well. Hans, your Utes won, right? And, of course, Scotty, your Aggies won. Cougars, they got to sit on the sideline and watch all of this, and then really the anticipation.
That was cold-blooded, man.
I don't know, man. Why do you do that, Alimo? So
Hans,
rude.
You earned that.
I like good football, man. It's a good football.
No, I'm just, you know, bringing out the fact that you're not a BYU guy. So, but we're all fans of good football in Utah, right?
Absolutely.
This was an awesome season to watch what was happening. But for BYU, you're kind of sitting back, and as the chips fall, you're hoping that, you know, and you see all on social media, you know, trying to entice the Fiesta Bowl with all the fans and all these kinds of things. And going to this bowl is not what you were hoping for with a 10-win season, a chance to get 11
wins. Not by any stretch.
But it is what it is. And it's kind of the remnants now, which will be the remnants as you head to the Big 12 in 2023. It'd be the remnants of what independence was.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, independence got one little kick to the gut before you walk out. You know, and so that's all right. And you just know that this is – and look, if the Big 12 wasn't calling, this would hurt a lot more than it does.
Sure.
And it does hurt a little. And I do feel for the players. I do feel for guys that are wrapping up their career and deserve a little bit more than this.
They do. Yeah.
So I do feel for them. But overall, if you're a BYU fan and you're like, man, that sucks. And you're like, okay, well, you know what? Go to Shreveport, eat some good Southern food, and know that 2 years from now, if you have that similar situation, you're playing in a New Year's Six game.
In a much better situation.
James did a great job of just, you know, his grandmother's from there and trying to promote, like, hey, we're excited to go to this bowl game.
Yeah.
When the reality is, you know, for any of us, you know, Hans, you and I have both gone to our share of bowl games every season, right? And you're hoping like it's going to be a nice bowl game and it's going to be fun. And I went to my share of kind of dumpy bowl games and of course some nice ones.
I did too.
As well, right?
Me too.
So you're hoping, but in the end, you're
going
promoting
to this year.
You're promoting like, hey, we're excited. It's the reward. This is what you play for. For BYU, you're playing for a little bit more than this result or this reward at the end. But at the same time, you're grateful. Hey, we're going to a bowl game. How many teams are not?
Yeah.
Right?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still going to make a big deal out of the BYU-Alabama-Birmingham game. Right?
Which is big of you because you're not a BYU fan.
Can you stop with that? Because people believe you when you say that. They're like, oh, Lima said the Hans is not a guy. They must know something. You know I am a BYU guy.
You are a BYU guy.
Admit it.
I give you a hard time
because
I want a little more loyalty out of you,
I know,
Hans.
You do, but you know I love good football.
I understand. I feel you more than I let on. And for our listeners.
It's like cougar on cougar crime.
Yeah, I know.
And not the good kind.
Hans.
Alima wants me to fly a BYU banner off the house.
Well, that would be nice, Hans.
Well, give me a paycheck from them. All they got to do is pay me $35,000-$40,000 a year.
So the loyalty just is because is for the paycheck.
Loyalty
is not about
that's where mine comes from.
Yeah, that's where everybody's comes from.
Loyalty comes from a little deeper than that.
But I'm going to make a big deal of this.
Yeah.
Look, this is still a good bowl game. And if BYU doesn't pay attention, then they're going to end. Then what happens if they mess around in this bowl game? Then everybody say, "Oh, see, look, they got what they deserve."
Yeah.
Oh, see, even though they did beat the other two teams in the state, this is what they deserve. They need to go out there and eliminate all thoughts of, well, this is, and they got to put a big exclamation mark on the season.
You are the better team than UAB on paper, right? But do not walk in there like Alabama in the Sugar Bowl in 08 or 09.
No.
And you know, not take this seriously. Oh, we don't want to be here. You know, we already got guys signed with agents. The Outland Trophy winner's not here. All the things that Alabama did, and then they got punched in the mouth, and the Utes, you know, made a statement.
Yes, they did.
Right?
Embarrassed them.
Right.
And it was awesome. And I think BYU needs to just – because, Alima, there's still final rankings. You know, there's still some numbers. I mean – this is close, Scotty. Doesn't that sway these voters even more to say, oh, see, we made the right decision with bumping Utah above them and continuing to shove them down? Because everybody at some point gets the short end of the stick through rankings.
Right.
And right now, BYU's getting the short end of the stick through rankings and through bowl selection.
Yeah.
It was like everybody was shuffling and trying to put pieces together, and it's like, boy, but Utah played really well. We got them up into the top 10. Well, who's going to stay out, and what do we do with this team? Well, BYU got the short end of the stick. Yeah. Sometimes it happens, but you can't finish the season that way.
No.
Put an exclamation on it, get your 11th win, and make sure you emphasize how great this season was. Everybody needs to showcase their abilities, yeah, too. If this is one of your final chances, if you're Jaren Hall and you're really considering going to the NFL, it's one of your final chances,
yeah,
to give that look. If you're, you know, if you're Tyler Allgeier and you want to make that jump, this is your final, yeah, chance, yeah, to give that look.
There's also a sense in a game like this, too, where if you know that you're getting drafted and you know where you're getting drafted, don't play this game.
Yeah.
Like, avoid it. But there's other guys that need that extra tape, that need that extra.
Can you think of anybody on that BYU team?
I don't think there is anybody. Yeah. Like, let's say, for example, Utah did not win the Pac-12 championship, and they were playing in a bowl similar to this. I would, yeah, say Devin Lloyd, do not play that,
yes,
game.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, right, for college football fans, because you don't see that guy one more time. But in your case that you bring up, Devin Lloyd, it's, yeah, not like you haven't had just a, no, season of ridiculous, yeah, plays
now playing in a Rose
by
Bowl,
that kid, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah, you're going to play that,
yeah,
game.
Yes,
yeah,
for sure. But if it was Shreveport in the Independence Bowl,
yeah,
not play. Devin Tompkins is in a close situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting – and he – by the way, I was surprised that he came out, but in our postgame, mm-hmm, he said, yep, I'm going to take my talents to the NFL.
I still think he's going to play because he's such a competitor.
Yeah.
And the same with Allgeier. I mean, Alimi, you know the running back spot better, yeah, than anybody. You know, that's a spot where you take the wrong shot and, yeah, it changes everything.
For sure.
Does Allgeier even have it in the back of his mind?
Well, for Allgeier, and I think that we can agree at least to a degree on this, the player wants to play, right? He is going to have some voices in his ear that are going to say, don't play this game. Yeah. But the player wants to play.
Yeah.
Whether it's Devin Lloyd or Allgeier or Tompkins.
And you know Allgeier wants to play.
He wants to play.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and again, look, I played at a, you know, I played at a high school level, but I'm still, some of my best friends on the planet are still guys that I played with, you, yeah, know, 20 some odd years ago. I can't imagine what that's like at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that if that's high coming level to an end, to be able to go out there one more time, yeah, with your brothers.
Yeah, and guys, mm-hmm, understand, like the other players, let's say in the Utah locker room, if this were the case and Devin Lloyd and the Utes were going to a different bowl game, they totally understand.
You get it.
Right? They're like, hey,
well said.
We feel you. Like,
you get it.
Yeah.
There are some guys that just make sense.
Yeah. Go take
There's
care.
Some guys, yeah, where, like, if I'm your brother and I know that you, yeah, are that guy, I come to you and I'm like,
hey
dude, you know, play. This isn't, yeah, time to mess around,
yeah,
right? You're going to the league. You're a second-round pick. Right. Stop it.
Yeah.
And I could tell, you know, most guys are going to be like, no, dude, I'm playing this game. Yeah. And it's like, okay, like, coach better talk to you.
Yeah.
Your agent better talk to you. Your dad better talk to you.
Well, you better not have an agent yet, because if your agent's talking to you, then you can't play anyway.
Geez, these kids now with these name, image, and likeness.
Right.
I think these agents
it's all
are
muddy.
Coming under
it's
the
all
cover
muddy.
Of. Yeah, it is.
It
I think
is.
They're getting early agents.
Well, speaking of getting a little extra money,
yeah,
we're live here at Tri-Day Trading, where you can get a little extra money in your pocket. And in some cases, you can actually just replace your income.
And I talk with people all the time. I'm at the Jazz game, right, walking around the arena, and people are either asking me, hey, is that Tri-Day Trading thing? Is that for real?
Isn't it
or
funny?
Do
you get as many questions?
I get
more about that than anything.
That had asked that question a year ago, then got involved in the program, and then given high fives. Like, hey, they're doing the Tri-Day Trading thing, right? Because you can start to supplement your income, and then you make that move to replace the income. And all you have to do is go to tridaytrading.com if you got questions like we all had, and you start to get the information, right, the questions answered. And the beautiful thing about Tri-Day Trading right now is, you know, I think about it during this, you know, Christmas season and season of giving. Like, if you want to give a nice gift to one of your kids, like for us that are older and you got kids in your 20s or something, just pay the $10 for them to get the 30-day trial, mm-hmm, and get them introduced to this and see if this is something that they'd be interested in doing, because the coaching is fantastic. Of course, the proprietary software is going to walk you through it and it's going to make it easier for you to make those trades, but the coaches are going to let you know how to make those decisions, right?
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of 19, 20, mm-hmm, 22. You know, we're,
yeah,
seeing a young
a lot of youngsters here,
a,
yeah,
young generation, yeah, that's jumping into the trading. So if you're young and you need a little extra income, you know, a lot of people right now are saying, oh, how am I even going to afford a townhouse?
Yeah.
Well, I get it. Like, it's very difficult to afford a townhouse, but this is something that can help supplement that mortgage.
Yeah.
Maybe you think, oh, I got to make an extra $800 a month.
Yeah. Right. It could make that payment for you. So I always tell people, I encourage them to just jump onto the website, the trydaytrading.com, and look through some of the free videos that are available there to answer some of the questions, baseline questions, then $10, 30-day trial, access to all the resources. And now, you know, this is big too, the cryptocurrency side of it,
yeah.
Right? You can get engaged and learn more about how to trade cryptocurrency. And that's a big thing too, especially as you were mentioning, kind of for that younger set mm-hmm. that is coming up, because that's going to be the next wave. But it all starts with trydaytrading.com. All you have to do is go to the website, trydaytrading.com.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK. PK.
Have you found, Joe, as you've traveled now, that you've had people come up to you and have these misconceptions about playing in Salt Lake City and maybe Utah in general, and you got to set them straight?
Oh, absolutely. Even on the court, guys are like, how do you live here? Or like little comments. And I think anyone that actually gets here and spends time here, you would learn how cool a place it is. I know for me and Renee and the kids, we absolutely love it. Now, I think any player that actually got here would realize how much they would like it when they actually got here and spent some time here.
Yeah. Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Live here at Tri-Day Trading, Hans. A lot to break down, a lot of college football to break down. What a week.
Big week of college football. And big week for the Utah Jazz, too. They did some fantastic things. We'll talk about them. I kind of wish that our Monday show was a five-hour show, because we could do 5 hours and just kind of
I would love to do a Monday only 5 hour show.
I know. And I'd like to do a Monday only 5 hour show and have three of it be commercial free.
Yes.
Just 3 hours where you and I just roll.
What if we did a commercial?
No commercials.
Scott Murdoch out there is about ready to wreck his car. Yeah. But if we did like a 1 hour of commercial free radio, we work in some liners and maybe some Collins and stuff like that. But
it would be amazing. Because today we could do a 1 hour commercial free. We could.
Well, heck, we do like 45 minutes without blinking an eye on Sunday mornings when we're half asleep.
I know. And it sounds like.
Now, well, now only 10 people listen to that.
We did a championship edition yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah, the morning after podcast.
I was hoping this is the one. I was hoping this is the one that sparks the interest. But I could easily do an hour uninterrupted on this Utah State. San Diego State game. Dude, I want to jump into this now, but we are going to give it a nice long segment at 105. I can't wait to talk about this game because there were so many guys that deserve high praise and performances in that game. And I've got my offensive and my defensive MVPs.
My voice is a little shot after that game. It took a while to recover.
You had a heck of a call. Was that one of the – well, as far as energy – you know, because my dad listened to you. I listened to you through most of the fourth quarter, but I watched as much as I could. But my dad was in the back room. He didn't even watch it. He just listened. And he said, he came out, you got to come in and listen to Scotty. He's having a heck of a time. He sounds so like he's having the best time of his life. So I went in and listened. But that had to have been as much fun as you've had.
That was a blast.
In a game.
Honestly, yeah, for a football game, yeah, 100%.
Because in a game like that, you don't want to call a close game. It would have been fun to have it be a close game, but in a game like that, it's kind of fun for Utah State fans to sit back and be like, we're going to get a win here.
Yeah, and it was weird because, you know, midway through the third quarter, and if I'm just a random guy watching it at home, you're like, wow, this game's over. But when you're in the middle of it, you're like, oh, you know, if they get a touchdown here and a stop And another score, this could tighten up real quick, and so you're on pins and needles.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's like, no, this game's over.
Yep.
And when it hit in the fourth quarter, and it was just – although I didn't – you know, there were some opportunities to get a little loose. I did drop one thing that – because now I've got the Carroll College parents in my head about saying inappropriate things about players.
Yeah, you got a distressed email.
I did call – you know, the guy, the Matt Ariza, that everybody's all fired up about their punter?
Yeah.
And everybody calls him Punt God. And then the second one got blocked, and I may have referenced Punt Dog. And, so, and then I'm thinking, no, I probably shouldn't say that.
Oh, you didn't say it?
Oh, I did.
Oh,
no,
you did.
I did say it.
Have you got an email yet?
Punt God, more like Punt Dog.
Oh, am I right? No. Am I right, Kevin? Am I right? Yes.
And Kevin's like, I want no part of this.
He backed out. Send your emails to Scott Gerard.
Oh, man.
It really was.
And then as soon as I said, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
It was fantastic. This Utah win has really settled in, too. And going back and watching some of the things that Utah was able to do, you know, a lot of the things that I saw Oregon attempting to do, they did attempt to do. You saw Kayvon Thibodeau started really rotating sides.
Yeah.
They started moving him one side or the other, trying to run him in different adjustments. And Utah did a really good job. They didn't panic. He did get a sack and then another pressure off of a switch side adjustment. But outside of that, they handled him pretty well. And what's weird is he dropped his head. He started shaking his head. You could see that the energy was run right out of him. And I don't know if that's because he's watching his offense come off the field time and time again and watching a 14-0 lead and watching things kind of unfold the way they unfolded in that first game. But I felt like he dropped his head.
Yeah.
And just thought to himself, you know what? If they're not going to try, I'm not going to try.
Well, I think there's a lot of point of truth there. And he's looking over at his offense, and his offense is trash. And he knows that they're not going to put enough points to get back into this game. So why should I be out there killing it if they can't string together a scoring drive or two to try to tighten this thing up?
The other thing that I loved with this, what are they? They're now top 10 in the AP and what, 11 in coaches poll? Is that right? Top 10, did they get a top 10 AP and then 11 coaches poll, or was it vice versa?
It might have been vice versa. I'll pull it up here.
But I think that those are the right rankings. A huge part of that is Andy Ludwig. And when we get into this Utah State segment, we're going to talk about the coaches in that Utah State segment. I need to give Andy Ludwig a lot of love. Yeah. There was a moment there where Oregon had missed a field goal and Utah gets possession and Utah starts a drive and they get themselves into a third and one. And on the third and one, you're thinking, just get the first, just get the first, just get the first. Utah was confident enough in the third and one that they could get a QB sneak on a fourth that they took the third and one and went for a flea flicker quick score. There might be a lot of people that are upset about that. I don't advise a flea flicker because there's four different touches in a flea flicker. You know, you throw in a flea flicker reverse and you're throwing in a fifth touch, and that's one thing that we've seen run this year on a fourth down. A flea flicker on a fourth, I'm not okay. Fourth and one, not okay. Third and one,
sure.
Like there were little wrinkles like that that I thought to myself, Andy's so dialed it. He's so laser focused in what his scenario is. Third and one, you call a flea flicker. In the past, I feel like Kyle Whittingham, if there was an incompletion or an issue with the flea flicker, maybe an issue with the throw back to the flick that ended up in the throw, that Kyle Whittingham would come undone and call stops to it all, and we're going back to the run and base run, and then the coordinator would be intimidated and he would start to waver and fall apart. Andy didn't. He went for the flea flicker on third and one, quickly called in the QB sneak, went for the QB sneak. Now, that drive ended up in an interception, if I'm not mistaken. It was rolling. They got the conversion, but it ended up in an interception, one of two interceptions that was thrown in that game. But my point is, I felt like Andy Ludwig, or I feel like Andy Ludwig, because they've still got this big Rose Bowl game.
Yeah.
I feel like he has just melded into this offense. And You remember that 2008 chemistry between Andy Ludwig and Brian Johnson? Andy Ludwig has that chemistry with Cam Rising. Did not feel to have it against or with Charlie Brewer, but feels like he's got that chemistry with Rising. And the good thing is there's years of this to come.
You know, that's interesting. You bring up an interesting point. We talk about chemistry within players and chemistry within a team, but a chemistry between an OC and a play caller and a quarterback. It's an interesting angle to look at there.
Okay, so you think of it as a program director. You think of it as a boss of a radio station. You know, you've got me, who is a good football mind. You've got Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, who are great basketball minds. And, you know, you try your best to try to fit in and develop us in the areas that we're best at. But when you got a guy that really steps forward in the perfect placement, perfect time of what you need, you think about how you can use that guy, as opposed to a guy that you're trying to fit him into a square hole and he's just a round peg. It doesn't fit sometimes. But every once in a while, a coordinator will match up with a player that just fits their format. It fits their timing. It fits their adjustments. They have the intelligence. Or if it's a dumbed-down offense, they don't need that, you know, that intelligent level of audibles. It just fits.
Yeah.
And Cam Rising has found a beautiful fit with Andy Ludwig. And Andy Ludwig has found a beautiful fit with Cam Rising. And there is no question that they have chemistry together.
We're up against it. What you may have missed coming up next, including Mario Cristobal has made up his mind. We will tell you where he will be coaching next season. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The new Zone lineup is here. With the best coverage of the sports you love and the teams you can't live without. Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, followed by Jake Scott and Ben Anderson from 10 to noon. Get your daily fix of Hans and Scotty from noon to 3. And then The Zone welcomes Unrivaled with Alex Keery and former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to the team. Weekdays from 3 to 6, live and local. All day, every day. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. And The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. All right, time for another edition of What You May Have Missed right here on The Zone Sports Network. And Hans, breaking news, Mario Cristobal is now the head coach of the University of Miami. He is leaving Oregon and he is on his way to Miami.
Apparently he addressed his team this morning. He addressed his Oregon Ducks this morning. I don't know if they had word of it, but it sure seemed like that staff and that team was distracted. I don't want to take anything away from Utah because Utah just punked them. And I don't care how distracted you think you are. It's a Pac-12 championship game. So those guys are laser focused. But here's the problem. This is the difference. When you have a situation like that brewing, and everybody knows it, you can go out and you can think that you're laser focused and you can think that you've put time into a game plan. But when somebody punches you in the mouth, the first thing you start thinking about is the distraction.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Scotty?
Yep.
So that doesn't take anything away from what Utah did. Utah went out there and did exactly what they needed to do. Put the pressure on them quick and get them thinking about other things. Make them think about those distractions. And Utah did a fantastic job of that. But it sure feels like there was some distraction brewing behind the scenes. Sources right now are saying that Miami will be worth more than an $8 million annual contract. And Miami is also going to be paying the $9 million buyout. So he's looking at $8 million a year, Scotty.
Yeah.
What do you think he was with Oregon? I don't...
I'd say four.
That's what I was thinking, somewhere between five and six, but maybe 4.8 or so.
Yeah.
But I think when your alma mater comes calling, and everybody needs to understand, Mario Cristobal, he played at Miami.
Yeah.
And he was a Miami assistant for a couple of years and an offensive lineman for them for two national championships. Was he with Dennis Erickson? He would have been, right?
I would think so, yeah.
He had the two national championships with Miami, and he's 51. So, yeah, I think that would have lined up with him. But going back and taking over the head job of a Hurricanes team that needs to refine themselves. Man, there was a time in the 90s where Miami was the real deal.
Yeah.
And they have kind of fallen to the wayside. And I don't know if Mario Cristobal is the guy to do it. I think he is because he's a great recruiter. Hell, he's pulled some of the best talent out of this state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
He's pulled a lot of the best talent out of this state. So, fingers crossed that he can do good things for them. I like Mario. I've told you that. I told you that from the first interaction I had with him when they hired him at Oregon, Scotty.
Yeah. I know you, the first media day, you came back and said he's going to fix Oregon.
Yeah, I liked him. And his attitude and his style. And I'm a fan of former offensive linemen that become head coaches. Look at Gary Anderson. Gary Anderson did a great job for himself. He restored Utah State. You know, a lot of the success we're seeing Utah State have now is still a process of what he did many, many years ago before Matt Wells came in.
Yeah.
He fixed a large part of it. As mad as Utah State fans might be at his second run, they should be still really happy with what he did in the first run to kind of restore things. But Mario Cristobal, I think, can go back to Miami. I think he can go back to Miami and have them competitive. They've got plenty of talent. He's got a fixed culture. And I think that he had a good culture at Oregon.
Yeah, I agree. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Ryan's hanging out with us from Tri-Day Trading. And Ryan, like, I know you're a basketball guy, but you've had to have a lot of fun watching all this football.
It has been fun. And I'm looking forward to the Bulls, all of them. You know, the in-state teams, it's pretty impressive this year.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed some college football this year?
Yeah, I told Saadi, I was listening to his call on Saturday as I was driving around.
He killed it, didn't he?
Yeah. And I'm a guy, if BYU and Utah are playing, I'd choose BYU every time.
But yeah.
Other than that, I've enjoyed watching Utah as well.
Yeah, they've been really good, and Utah State's been fantastic. But, you know, we were talking about this with Alema. So Alema walks around the arena there at Vivint Arena, and people are, you know, asking him, is this the real thing? I go to a grocery store. I get asked more about Tri-Day Trading than any other sponsor I've ever represented. And people say, is it the real deal? And I just came to you with some friends that said, is it the real deal? What did we do with them?
Yeah, so those friends actually came and did the trial, which we suggest first for everyone, right? Because that's what we want people to do. We want people to try it out for themselves. I mean, I think it's great that people are talking about it and asking questions. I don't even think it's negative if they're saying, is this thing real, right? I think that's a legitimate question when you're not sure about what it is. But hands down, that trial period is a chance for people to find out for themselves. And that's what your friends did. There was a combination of them, actually, that came through, wanted to know more about this. And, you know, even though they're close friends with you, he said, you got to do this trial. You have to really see how it works. And
it's $10.
Yep. $10, real easy. And we spend some serious one-on-one time with people during that, no matter who you are. We spend some one-on-one time with people in that period to answer their specific questions, to really help them figure this out. And with your friends, too, they're getting started this week on the rest of the program.
That's exactly how you move forward. You know, and when they called me, I said, well, you know, there's really no back secret channel to this. The $10 is very open. And what I love about this is, so you pay your $10 and you come and get a deep dive in this. Ryan, I need people to understand that if my buddies or my friends who came and tried it, if they said, you know, the commitment here, I can't do it, or this angle here, I don't like it, it's as easy as that. You're not trying to go out there and, you know, grip into them and say, no, we've got to have you, because you want guys that want to do it.
For sure. It makes it so much easier when we're working with people that are excited about it, that want to learn more about it. And then when you go through our program and it comes to us funding an account, you know, I mean, we fund an initial amount. We continue this partnership for as long as we can. And we fund some accounts up to $100,000 where we split the profits. And so that relationship's important from the beginning. We're going to answer your specific questions. And then absolutely, if this is not something that, you know, if it's not what you thought it was, right? Or it's not something that maybe right now it's not right for you. That's okay too. We want to help figure this out so we can decide if it's going to be a long-term, you know, relationship.
All you have to do is go to TriDayTrading.com. Hans and I have gone through the training. It really is impressive. Your one-on-one coaching you get, you just can't stress it enough how much it can help you, how much they're invested in you personally and your success. They need you and want you to be successful. Go to TriDayTrading.com. Get that webinar. Give it a shot for 30 days. Only costs you $10. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.